Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always in crystal clear Zencaster audio by Ronald J. Martin and Barnabas Piper. Boys, it's good to be back in studio. I feel like I need to redeem myself after a real bad show last week. So wow. I just want you to know that I am fully engaged in this, okay? I'm going to covenant with you to pay attention through the duration of our program today. And we've got a good one on tap, guys. We got a real good one. But before we get into these topics, I want to encourage people to go to happyrantpodcast.com. Check out our coffee, our Happy Rant signature blend, blended by Ligaris Roasters, Hector Ligaris, my friend, my Puerto Rican coffee roasting friend. Hector Ligaris wants to be your personal coffee guy. So if you haven't done so already, grab yourself a pound of Ligaris Roasters signature blend, and also check out at Silverdome Movie on Twitter. That's the Twitter handle for my movie, Silverdome. We're doing a Kickstarter for post-production that you should check out. And Pipe, let's just get all the business out of the way, man. Why don't you lay that sponsor on us, baby?
Yeah, I mean, people tune into this just to hear us talk business. That's what we're known
it's
for.
A business
so let's
show.
Go
it's
ahead.
A business program.
Yeah, let's go ahead and make it big. Once again, we have the Christian Standard Bible, the CSB, sponsoring the podcast. If you go to csbible.com, you can check out more there. You can see, you can just learn all about this new translation from Holman Bibles, part of Lifeway Christian Resources. So it's, if you're a regular listener, you've heard about it the last few weeks, but it is a translation that seeks to combine accuracy in translation with readability. As a reader who only knows English and not the original languages, I can tell you it is a really enjoyable read. And the thing that I want to push for this today is if you're a Kindle user or you use the Kindle app, you can actually get the CSB for free. So it's completely free on Kindle, just a basic text Bible. But it's a great way to dig into it. So if you enjoy using a Kindle, if you're a digital Bible reader, go ahead and get that. The Christian Standard Bible also has an app that's totally free. So if you're an app user, that's a good way to do it. And again, csbible.com is where you want to go to get all your questions answered. And then if you are a pastor, so you want to consider using this in your church, go to csbible.com/review, and you can actually put in a request for a copy to be sent to you to consider for use in your church, in your teaching, your preaching, your classes. So again, that's csbible.com/review. Again, that's only for pastors who are making the decision on behalf of a church. So csbible.com/review. Go check that out.
Good job, Pipe. Boys, speaking of business and commerce and just what we're about here, one of the realities that we face as radio pros, as celebrities, as it were, is the occasional negative review. And people seem to like this. People seem to like the fact that we get negative reviews, and they want us to talk about them on the air. So, Pipe, you've compiled some negative reviews of this program that we're going to work through here on the air. What I'm going to have you do is just read those out loud. Ron and I will respond, hopefully with maturity and grace, and we'll ask you to respond too. So why don't you lay one of those on us, okay?
All right. So first of all, these were all pulled off of iTunes. Now we've responded to some listener criticism we've received via Facebook. I don't know what that is. So these are actual iTunes reviews, all 1 and 2 stars. Now, thankfully, we don't get a ton, but as far as I know, these are actual people who have actually listened and not just like Joe Thorne and Jimmy Fowler of the Doctrine and Devotion podcast trying to bring our ratings down. So first one is from a listener who said, listening to this podcast for the first time was quite unstimulating, basically just droning on conversation about nothing in particular alongside no biblical references whatsoever. Their blending of the current culture with truth definitely leans to the left. Unsubscribable.
Leans to the left.
Yes, we are left-leaning droners who talk about nothing and are unbiblical.
Dude, unsubscribable, isn't that the name of like a
praise song from like 5 years ago?
Unsubscribable.
Oh, sing it. Sing it, Big T.
Your podcast sucks and I'm unsubscribing right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, you are all in today, aren't you, Ted?
Baby,
right,
we've wandered to and fro. Rachel the Held Evans.
Rachel the Held Evans. Let's get out of here before it goes away.
So this one, Ronnie made this point. I shared this one with him beforehand because I was so encouraged by it. I think droning on conversation about nothing in particular is basically a rewrite of our actual podcast description.
Yeah, who's been lying about that? I mean, that's about as blatant as core TV,
right?
I think it basically says we talk about things that aren't all that important in our description on our website. So maybe this particular listener missed that or was
he has some expectations that were unmet. You know, it's tough for him.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I mean, obviously, we talk about nothing. I don't know. A Big T, remember a few weeks back when you went on that rant, that almost like that sermonette kind of rant? I mean, that was – there was like a scripture reference in there. I thought – I mean, that was epic.
I remember that. I remember you saying –
That was big. Yeah.
That was like a sermonette. And I felt very – I felt good about that. I felt affirmed.
You feel affirmed.
By you.
You feel affirmed. Yeah. You are affirmed by me. You always know that, baby. But I think everything he said besides that – was spot on. And again, depending on where you're coming from, right, left, I don't know,
Yeah. Right, left.
Yeah. So I don't know anything about that kind of stuff. Cause I don't do politics, but, that's interesting. I mean, the guy just literally like wrote copy for us in terms of like how to describe our program.
Yeah. I mean, we try not to drone, but we do whatever we do it about basically nothing.
Yeah.
So,
Seinfeld of podcasts.
Right? Seinfeldian. Is that a word we could use?
Yeah.
I mean,
we're like the Seinfeld of podcasts. What, I mean, why is that? I wasn't even a Seinfeld fan but I'll roll with that. If you guys are good with rolling with that.
I'm good with that.
Oh, I think that's great. All right, so here's another good one. There's a few in here that are very long, and people take us to task for being mean and nasty. And one of them says that I'm a way better host than you two, so we're going to skip that one.
But you had to get that in there, didn't you, Pipe? You had to slip that one in there just real quick.
So it says
on that one was at Noel Piper. I don't know. Exactly. I don't know what that means, boys. But
it says that you guys are condescending and aloof, and I am acerbic with a dry wit. So
Wow, I don't know what acerbic means. I mean, now we're using words that like I don't even.
Acerbic is usually not a positive thing. Okay. Usually, it means sort of cutting. So
this is depressing. Why are we even doing this? This sucks, okay. Man.
No. Here we go. Here's okay. Fine, we'll bring it back up. Here's a fun one.
All right.
Listened to two episodes. After 10 minutes into the first, it became blatantly apparent that the guys are really just nominal Christians devoid of any actual opinions worth listening to.
Mm.
So here's my question on this. 10 minutes into the first episode, this person, username Ranting Tim, realized that we have no opinions worth listening to. So he finished that episode and came back for seconds.
But somehow we're not. Somehow that leads into us being nominal believers,
dude. I'll guarantee you one thing: I wasn't even on the first episode.
Oh snap!
Yeah,
snap, Big T.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Now, I mean, do we need to bring up who invented the pod? I mean, is that going to help our case right now to talk about who the inventor of this podcast was?
Baby, listen, I signed with this podcast. I signed my lucrative deal about two or three episodes into this thing. So
yeah.
I don't know what Ranting Tim was listening to, but it wasn't me.
Ranting Tim was listening to Ranting Trogues is what he
and,
was listening.
And to be fair, Ronnie also not a nominal Christian because he came in out of the bullpen after about a year of doing this podcast.
Pipe, you need to repent of your lukewarmness or, I don't know.
I thought I was acerbic and dry. Isn't that good enough? That good?
Not good enough. None of this is good.
All right, let's just do one more. We're going to skip the long, ranty ones because they're boring. This one is from a user named Snarf33, and it simply says, One star, the Reformed Pubcast is better.
Mm. Oh, that hurts. That one cuts to the quick, Pipes.
Snarf 33, that you mean the host of Reformed Pubcast?
Yeah. I feel like they may have gone on their podcast or like done a giveaway of like Calvin's Institutes or something in exchange for people leaving crap reviews on our podcast. That seems like a possibility here.
I don't know, man. I think we're more Reformed than Reformed Pubcast because we have a sense of humor, and the original Reformer, Martin Luther, was a funny guy. Can I attach all that and get that from that? Does it sound accurate to you guys?
That sounds good to me, baby.
I mean, I like that.
I like that too. I like that.
Right? I mean, since the king of all Reformedom was like one of the funniest dudes of all time, Martin Luther, of whose name I half share. You know, so I'm going to roll with that. I like that.
To make you guys feel better, I did find a review that says that you guys are better than me. And it says the worst of all this comes from Barnabas, who clearly has no time for anyone who disagrees with him. That's a completely accurate statement. For example, when they were discussing firearms, he stated that he found all of the reasons people offered in defense of concealed carry to be stupid. Also accurate. No explanation, no insight, and no attempt to exercise even a modicum of humility on the matter. Also accurate. And there are many other examples of this, yada, yada, yada. So
that's vicious. The username on that one was @ Melissa Martin.
Piper, is it modicum? Because I've always wanted to know how to pronounce that. I've always wanted to say modicum, but it's modicum. I'm glad I know.
I've always pronounced it modicum. I don't know if that's correct. That one was from somebody named Warrior Poet 06.
Oh, Warrior Poet. I love it.
Oh, dude, Warrior Poet. Dude, he's dangerous.
Warrior Poet is dangerous, but he's sensitive, Ron. That's the thing. He's both.
Cross him because he clearly carries guns where we can't see them.
That's because he's a warrior, Piper. He's a warrior, you know?
Yes.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, the pen is mightier. People just need to remember that.
The pulpit and pen is mightier.
By Patti Smith and Savage, I'm the Warrior.
Dude, yeah, epic.
That was hot, man. I'm thinking of that right now in conjunction with this guy.
Well, Big T, that's where he got his name, obviously. That's not even a question. It's unarguable.
No, it really isn't arguable. Judas, man, I think I'm a little glum now. I'm not full-on glum. I'm not down, but I'm right there on the edge. You know what I mean?
You're on the edge of like falling back into last week's trauma.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, last week wasn't a trauma. It was just like a disengagement. You know what I mean?
It was a malaise. Yeah, I think
it was a malaise.
That was a way of you hosting the program, but just handing it over to me and Pipe. I mean,
dude, I really handed it over because apparently, you know, Pipe would be a better host than you and me. So,
but you know what? We increased business for the Astro Motel probably by 110%.
Dude, we did. I wish we would get a piece of that action, man. We should
get a piece of that action. I'll tell you that much.
Baby, listen to me. Bare minimum.
I'm sure it's a profitable institution with lots of money to pay us.
Baby, listen, bare minimum. All right. And Astro, I know you're listening now after the program. I want some comped rooms. I want you to comp Daddy the Rain Man suite. At the Astro Motel, okay?
Absolutely. Hey, I'll tell you what. I'm going to say it right now, Astro Motel owner. If you comp Daddy the Rain Man suite, we're going to travel to California, stay at the Astro, and do a little live at the Astro Motel.
We're going to do live at the Astro. We're going to stretch out like gentlemen.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't think of anything.
Get a sponsorship from like Megabus to get us there for not too much money.
Megabus. It would only take 72 hours to get us there.
I have seen two megabuses on fire on the side of the freeway in the last year and a half. So I'm disinclined to use their service, but it is cheap.
Pipe, I want to get back to this review thing.
All right.
Since you're the review guy and you have access to this information in your studio right now, what percentage of the reviews would you say are positive? I want you to prop me back up. I want to get a sense that we're doing okay here.
Okay, so we have over 200 iTunes reviews.
Wow.
And the cumulative rating is like 4.8 or 4.9 out of 5 stars.
I can live with that.
I pulled something like 6 or 7 negative reviews, and they date back to December of 2015.
Okay.
Or something along those lines. So, I mean, there's like one every 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Which means that the vast majority of ours are very positive. And I can tell you from our social media interaction, our listeners are a very supportive, engaged, fun group of people, with the exception of Warrior Poet and Snarf and whoever else thinks that you guys are condescending and I'm arrogant with no time for contrary opinions.
Dude, what's up with Warrior Poet? What's that guy's deal, man? What do you think a guy who looks like or goes by Warrior Poet, what do you think he looks like?
I think he looks like Dave Grohl.
Interesting. What if it was Dave Grohl?
That's a great description.
Dave Grohl didn't like our program.
Well, Dave Grohl is just, I mean, look at that dude, man. I mean, Grohl looks like an animal, man. I mean, he's just.
Yeah, either that or like George R.R. Martin, you know, so sort of like he's got like the little newsboy cap, but like the big beard. And so he's equal parts like backwoods, but wordsmith.
I'm going to say this about
himself, a wordsmith.
I'm going to say this about Warrior Poet. I think he's way more poet than warrior.
Dude,
you know what I'm saying?
That's big, big deal.
Yeah, way more poet than warrior. I'm not saying good poet. I'm just saying more poet than warrior.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say about
that. Well, that's because there's a lot of angst there. You know,
there's like, a lot of angst. There's a lot going on.
If there's war, if there's more warrior there, he's just like he doesn't really care enough to even write to write the review. Whereas if he's poet, then he's getting deep about things. Big T.
No, I know that, baby. Yeah.
So basically, we don't have to fear that he is going to come after us for our arrogance and judgmentalism. He's more likely to write an ode to humility or something along those lines.
Yeah.
No, he's a warrior. He'll engage us in battle is the thing. That's what
is
I
he
think.
The guy that loves Reform Pubcast, or was that the other guy?
No, that was Snarf.
Oh, Snarf. That is the Reform Pubcast guy, obviously. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if that is a kind of a center cut of their listenership, that's rough. Snarf 33, and he barely completed a sentence.
Yeah, it's rough.
Well, you know, I'm glad for our people, man. Listen to me. The people who are listening to this program, that's who I want. I don't want Snarf 33 or Warrior Poet. I want the people that we have, man. We're loyal to our people, and they're loyal to us, and that's the dynamic of the group. That's what I like. All right, boys. Let's move on to greener pastures, all right? We have seniors here at my university who are going to be graduating on Saturday. This is the season for graduations, graduation parties, commencement speeches. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about commencement speeches, and I want to be vulnerable here. Did we cover this on the program?
Texted it out.
Yeah. Okay. So
here's my show prep.
This was pre-show prep.
It was pre-show prep. So here's my thing, boys. I don't think a person can truly say that they're successful. Like, I won't feel truly successful as a writer, as a whatever, until I get invited to give a commencement speech somewhere.
When you say somewhere, where does that have to be? Like what? Like a kindergarten graduation?
No. It has to be
graduation,
high school or above. Pipe.
Okay.
Yeah, it has to be legit. It has to be legit.
Yeah. And we spoke about this via text as a group, and you know, none of us have really done this kind of gig. So again, to our listeners, if you have that kind of power, if you're the dean of a university or the principal of a high school, we are available to give a commencement address, as individuals or as a group. My question to you is, boys, do you think that's an accurate barometer of success? How do you feel about that?
I think it's, I mean, I don't know if it's the standard for success, but it is like, if there are multiple standards that determine somebody's arrival, mm-hmm. it's one of the primary ones. Like once you've done it, that it's final, you have arrived. There may be other things that say you have arrived as well. Yeah. But like, this is one where once you do that, you don't have to do anything else. Like, oh yeah, I spoke at a commencement at X and such college 72 years ago. You have been arrived for 72 years.
You're in. You've arrived. Yeah, you're a factor. Right. You're a force. Now, Pipe, you recently spent some time at a graduation address, and I think this is what got this whole discussion going. You were at Boyce College for their graduation, and I just want you to kind of paint a picture of what you saw. What was that like for you?
Okay, so Boyce College is on the campus of Southern Seminary. My little sister, the baby of the family, graduated from college. Congratulations, Talitha.
Does she listen to the program, Pipe? Is she a listener?
I don't think she is. She's never brought it up to me. She might be like a sneaky listener, but because she was at a Southern Baptist institution, she probably had to keep it quiet, even though two of us are employees of Southern Baptist organizations. So I went there for graduation, and the first thing that struck me was the sheer amount of floral print.
Mm.
And the second thing that struck me was bow ties.
Mm. Yeah, sure.
It was like Easter Sunday on steroids.
Interesting.
Which was nuts. Just, you know, grandmas and moms all decked out in full floral. Yeah. And then dads just rocking pastels and bow ties like you wouldn't believe.
Dude, floral's hot, right? Floral's hot right now. So let me just throw
that. Yeah, I guess. And so I was wearing jeans and a button down, and I decided I would tuck my shirt in for the sake of dressing up. And I wasn't the you know, there were people who were less dressed than me, but not by much. And then it was a 2-hour ceremony. You know, they basically read the entire Old Testament. They read the entire New Testament. The entire faculty prayed twice.
Everybody prayed. Every student got to pray.
Yes, all the students prayed. They had an a cappella choral performance from their student a cappella group because it's a college thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they did a lovely job. Very talented kids. And then let's see what else happened. And then they sang 3 or 4 hymns, one of which was like the college hymn, which is a lot like listening to a Calvinist pray, where they get in every point of soteriology in this 12-verse hymn. And all of this is accompanied purely by a monstrous pipe organ, which is one of the most horrifying sounds in life.
It's just a big sound, isn't it?
The pipe organ makes two sounds, funeral or horror movie.
Sure.
And that's it.
Yeah,
that's
all it does. I said it last week during my sermon, man. The reason why we don't use pipe organs in church is because they're made for haunted houses. I mean, why would we try to cross that over, you know?
Yeah, they are terrifying. So multiple hymns with that. And then comes the commencement address. There's the presidential address. Then there's the dean of the college address.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the commencement address, which was given by my father.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in true blue John Piper fashion, he you know, glorify God and don't waste your life, you know, which is a strong message for graduating students.
Go, Pipe. What was the minute count on your old man's talk there at Boyce College?
I'd say 20 minutes.
Oh, that's it? Oh,
God bless that man. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it might have been a hair over 20, but it was. He knew he was supposed to keep it concise.
Yeah.
And then there was like 2 more hymns, and then the reading of all the names. You know, as the students come up. Thankfully, the whole college is only like 500 kids, so the graduating class was like 100 people, sure. and so that part was speedy.
Yeah.
And then it was over, and I had my daughters with me, and this was their first graduation experience, and they probably hope it will also be their last, because what is worse for a kid than sitting through a graduation ceremony?
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully they won't graduate someday, so they'll never have to do that again.
Yeah, I'm not even sending them to college. Like, that's insane. Then I have to go sit through a graduation.
Exactly.
And pay for college.
Precise.
Boys, did I tell you about the professor I sat next to at graduation last year here at my school?
I don't feel like we've heard this story.
Yeah, it's funny. It's I don't even know if it's a full story, but this guy, you know, let's just say he's been around a few years. He's been here for a while, and you can hide a lot of like contraband under your robe. And I sat down next to this gentleman, and he had a water bottle in his robe, but he also had like printed out like reams and reams of like tennis rankings and articles, so that he could read about tennis during the commencement. It was amazing.
What I love about that is that he printed out reams and reams and didn't just like bring a phone.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on there. I didn't ask him, but I kind of admired the gentleman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's academic ingenuity right there. I'm impressed.
It really is. It's making the most of that robe. Big R, you got any commencement speech? Like, let me ask you this, Ronnie. Yeah. What's your ideal? Like, if you could be invited to give the commencement address anywhere in the country as a celebrity speaker, where would you go?
I mean, dude, I don't even like. I have no idea. I mean, it's never going to happen. So I don't think it's anything I've ever even given. Like, until you boys mentioned it, I had literally never given it like 0.1 second of thought.
You hadn't given thought to like how money it would be to be asked to be the commencement speaker somewhere?
Well, dude, after you said it, I kind of agreed with you. And I was like, yeah, no, that is next level.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, it just seems so far fetched. I mean, I can see you guys being asked to do that way before me. So
what would you tell them, Big R? What would you say to these kids, man, these impressionable youngsters? Would you do a follow your dreams thing or what, man?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I'd probably be a little too loud. I'd probably be a little too heavy, and I'd probably be a little too, you know, you guys are about to, you know, it'd probably be a little waste your life-esque, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I wouldn't do the job of it that Senior piped in on it, but,
yeah.
I don't know, man. That's a great question. I have no idea. I mean, like, I've spoken to high schools and, like, you know, all that kind of stuff where you just, like, you just look at these kids and you go, like, everything you've been taught through church and youth group has probably been a lie, so let's preach grace to you. So I would probably do something along those lines. Like, you've been in this conservative, like, Christian college, and it's probably mostly been, like, legalism and lies. So here's something to help you as you embark. That's where I would go with it.
Okay, Boyce College, if you're listening, Ronnie Martin is available to give that talk next year.
Legalism and lies. I'm sounding all pulpit and pen right now. I don't mean to sound
pulpit
like
and pen, legalism and lies. Doctrine
gives me the shivers.
Yeah, it's getting insane. I'm sorry, I take all of that back. I'd talk about like kitty cats and ice cream and dude.
There you go.
Now you're a great fit at Boyce.
Boys,
what would you give your commencement talk on?
Lay it out, man. What would you talk about?
Oh boy, that's a tough question, guys. You know, my MO as a public speaker is just to tell a lot of funny stories. So I'd probably start there. I would probably do something along the lines of, hang on, I got a cough. Something along the lines of like, your first job is probably going to suck. It's probably going to be frustrating. So don't blame the person you're with for that. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of young couples, and I guess I'm talking more to like, you know, married or engaged people here. They get out of college and they realize like, I got to get up at 8 a.m. I get like 4 days off the entire year. And you can take that out on the one you're with. And, you know, I would tell them not to do that, I guess.
Wow. That's moving, Big T. I like that.
Thanks, baby.
That's helpful.
I don't know. I'm still working on it. I mean, in that I started writing it like a minute and a half ago. So
right when we asked.
Yeah, right when you asked. But that kind of motif surrounded by a lot of funny stories.
Yeah, I agree. I actually think it would be super, super fun to write something for that because it's kind of carte blanche. You know what I mean? You can kind of say whatever you want.
Yeah.
And I don't get to do that on Sundays, obviously, because I don't do topical preaching. We've already discussed that a long time ago. But just to be able to say something that you want to say and be a little shocky with it, I think would be super fun. You know, because you're going to be wearing the robe and everything. You know what I mean? So I'd be making jokes about the robe and I'd be doing all that.
I would talk to like the great thing about graduating from college is that you're immediately plunged into an environment where like all the stuff that kind of you hung your hat on in college, nobody cares about anymore. Like nobody gives a crap what your GPA is. Nobody cares what clubs you were in. You know what I mean? Like
it's like it never happened.
Exactly. It's like it never happened. So I think I'm always drawn. I always root for like the underdog kid who was like never the president of any clubs and wasn't in, you know, honors or whatever. And I would tell that kid to go out and like, you know, kick some tail and take some names, you know,
because he's going to, he is going to be the kid that like goes further for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oftentimes it seems like that's the case.
I love it.
Maybe this is coming together. We should do this. We should do one of these together.
I think the commencement speech for high school is these are not the best days of your life.
Absolutely.
Like, if these are the best days of your life, just give up now.
I weep for your life. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, college can be fun. College can be good days. But yeah, these are not the best days of your life.
Have you guys ever seen a commencement speech like from more than one dude?
I don't think I have.
Split it up. Do like a little like team teaching thing on it.
I like it.
That, yeah, just like a live recording of the Happy Rant about college graduation.
Guys, if like, so anybody out there listening, if you just want to take this clip, edit it, and just record it and play a version of it for your commencement speech, feel free. Yeah.
I can come up with a pricing structure on that so that, you know, because obviously we're not just giving away this wisdom. We would have to be compensated for that.
Absolutely.
Well, of course. Of course.
We don't do this for free.
We don't do anything for free.
Yeah. 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 Baby, we don't get out of bed for free, man.
I mean, there's only one thing free in this world, and that's God's grace. Ephesians 2. Is that a scripture reference? And now we can.
Yeah, there you go. Scripture reference. Now, whichever listener that was can
warrior poet.
Not a nominal Christian anymore. Good for you.
It's a free gift of God, and we believe that. That's Ephesians 2. We stand behind that. And, you know, we just don't often talk about it a lot on the rap, though, do we, boys? You
know? We don't.
No, we drone on about things that don't matter.
Right. This is why you're the man of the cloth. And you know what? Warrior poet needs to hear that.
But he listened to an episode more than he intended and no longer listens. So
it was like an accident. He like accidentally hit the button and it was like he was trapped there, you know?
Yeah, he couldn't figure out how to hit the stop button.
I'm curious about that, but I digress. We're going to go on to one last topic, boys, and we're going to lighten things up a little bit. People like to hear what we're reading, what we're listening to. So I'm going to start with you, Pipe. Tell us what you're reading, what you're watching. We'll add that one to the mix, and what you're listening to.
All right. So I'm reading a couple books right now, two of which I am really enjoying. One of them is called Willie Mays. So it's just a biography of Willie Mays by a guy named James Hirsch. And nice. It's a really good biography. And Mays has always been sort of one of the baseball players I'm most captivated by because he seems, you know, kind of more legend than human, but this is, you know, this is his full biography and really, really well written, really fun story. Fascinating. The other one is called Good Poems. And it's a compilation that Garrison Keillor put together. And what I like about it is that he's not going for like the best poems that are critically acclaimed from all the greatest, most famous people. Mm-hmm. He basically says in the intro, these are poems I like. So they're fun. They're fun to read out loud. They tell a good story. They paint a picture. And it's a really, really sort of genius collection of poems. It has sort of a This American Life feel to it where it's like snapshots of the everyday.
Nice.
But done in poetry. So those are both books I'm reading that I'm really enjoying. In terms of listening, I got Chris Stapleton's new album called From a Room, Volume 1. And it's amazing. Chris Stapleton is amazing in general. He came out with one, I think late 2015 was his first album release. And, you know, won some Grammys for that. He's a country singer, but with a real sort of blues and rock quality to him. Big beard, kind of has a ZZ Top look about him and like a big gravelly, soulful voice. And, nice. And he was a songwriter for a bunch of other famous artists long before he was a successful artist. So he's a really gifted writer. And so his music is this album is it's got some blues and some rock in there, but it's much more classic country than his previous one. And then I've seen a couple movies in the last month or so that I I wouldn't call either of them good, but I really enjoyed both of them. One was Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which is crass and hilarious. And the other was the new King Arthur movie directed by Guy Ritchie, which has been critically destroyed. And
yes, I was going to say, critics hated that thing, Pipe.
Oh, well, movie critics wouldn't know a fun movie if it bit them on the backside. Like they're always looking for like the next pretentious Oscar winner, and they can't recognize a movie that's fun for fun's sake. And yeah. I thought King Arthur was just like, it's an over the top action movie in Guy Ritchie style. And
it's weird that Guy Ritchie did it. Does he usually, he doesn't usually do movies like that, does he? Like that?
Well, when he got famous, he did like Snatch and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, which
he was doing like gritty London, you know, somebody stealing something movies,
right? You know? And then he did a couple. I think he did a couple duds, and then he did the Sherlock movies with Robert Downey Jr.
That's right.
Which were much more blockbustery, and those were good. Those were fun movies.
Those don't hold up, by the way. I watched the first one with the boys the other night, and I'm like, oh, this kind of blows.
Yeah. And then he kind of went back to his sort of quirky offbeat movies when he did A Man from U.N.C.L.E. I don't know if you guys saw that. That was a fun one.
Yeah, I heard that was really good. I never saw it.
And King Arthur is much more like epic blockbuster. And so everything is sort of over the top. It's the way I described it to a friend. It's like a Marvel movie mixed with the movie 300, you know, with sort of that style. Then with Guy Ritchie's sort of flair on it. So it's hard to call it a good movie, but I thought it was a ton of fun.
Interesting. Big R, what about you? What are you reading, watching, or listening to?
You know what, Big T? It's hard to even follow up Pipe because he does such good commentary, as you and I will know. You know,
he always does a nice job, doesn't he?
I know, man. It's just what he was born to do. So here's what I'm doing right now, man. I just finished a book by Pops Piper. Called A Peculiar Glory. And like I was telling Piper the other day on the phone, I was like, dude, I'm waiting for them to like release like whatever below the layperson version is of that so that I can like understand what it was saying.
He needs to do like a student version for you.
I mean, maybe below that. Maybe like the elementary school version of it. Then I think
maybe like a mediocre student's version.
Seriously, I mean, just so I can grasp like you know even a couple of paragraphs of it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm reading. I'm getting ready to head out of Dodge, like I typically do. And so I got some books stacked up. I got this book called The Revenge of Analog that I just bought. I haven't read it, but I'm getting ready to read it, and it got really good reviews about just sort of the return to people, you know, wanting books and vinyls and hard copies of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of the,
did you buy it for Kindle?
Of course not. I don't even own a Kindle, Pipe. That's outrageous.
I just would find that very ironic and funny.
Yeah. And so I got that. I'm reading, I got a couple of novels, Hillbilly Elegy. I'm like the last guy that hasn't read that. I get it. The Light You Cannot See. It's another novel that got like amazing.
Well,
like,
that's a good one. I like that one a lot.
And so I'm going to read that. And then I got some vinyls. I'm looking at some vinyls I got. I got the new album by this kind of this quirky artist called Gold Frap. Think Frappuccino, but Gold Frap. And
yeah, that sounds like an Austin Powers villain.
Yeah, I mean, it clearly isn't if you were to listen to it, but I would get why you would think that. So, yeah, just buying a lot of vinyls, of which I can't remember the names of half of them. And so, yeah, just kind of doing that, man, just reading and listening. Movies, here's the thing, boys. If you're married to Big M, you don't do a lot of movies because she doesn't enjoy movies, believe it or not. And it's been kind of one of the big things. We've gotten a lot of marriage counseling over this.
Tough thing to work through, baby.
It's been a big one. We have it in 22 years. We haven't really gotten a lot of traction on this one. So my movie watching is pretty minimal because she just doesn't dig the process. And by the process, what I'm trying to tell you guys is like, baby, here's the thing. How about we go to the movies and I buy you like, I spend 40 or 50 extra dollars on like all kinds of food and good, like whatever it takes to get you through this horrendous process. Like I'm there for you. I'm there to contribute to that. And even with that, like even with the milk duds and the popcorn and all the stuff, right? Like I can't get her on board. To be a moviegoer, so I don't really know what to do about that. I'm if you guys can tell, I'm pleading with you. I'm hoping that maybe you can give me a little something. I'm kind of bearing my soul right now. So
yes, you are. You're being very real.
I mean, he says King, like you know. I mean, Big T, Pipe says King Arthur, and like there's not like a literal bone in my body that wants to see that movie, but yet I want to see that movie because I just want to see a movie.
I just want to go to
the movies.
Baby, you miss traveling with me because we would make a
movie. I know. That's the last time I almost saw a movie was when me and you were traveling to Fort Wayne to do our early version of this program. I know.
We saw Limitless. Remember that? We saw Limitless together.
Of course I remember it.
Yeah.
Because it's the last movie I saw.
Yeah, it was super fun, baby.
Those
are good times.
I don't think I've heard you this animated ever, Ronnie. Like,
sorry,
guys.
This
is a real pain point for you.
It is a pain point. I mean, I think the Astro Motel last week kind of kicked me off on this a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you. But yeah, it's a tough one, guys. It's tough to have to go through life without enjoying the cinema. you know.
Yeah, the uncinematic life. I feel like there's your memoir.
The uncinematic life. I mean, it's the truest word ever spoken about me. Yeah, I appreciate that. So you can write my bio.
That's the truth.
Maybe an article for TGC, you know, about the uncinematic life. You know, you can do that. You know,
well, but that one would be like why Christians shouldn't go to movies because.
Yeah, well, those would be the three sub points of it, obviously. But so, Big T, let's turn it over to you. What do you got?
Yeah, boys, some good things. Some things I'm enjoying. So, book wise, I'm really enjoying. Have you guys ever read James Boyce's commentaries on the Psalms? There's two or three volumes. I've got a couple of them, and I'm really enjoying that, man. I like Boyce's teaching on the Psalms, so getting a lot out of those.
Baby, hold on. Let me go back to that, man. I'm not going to lie to you, man. That's surprising. What drew you to reading commentary, Boyce's commentary on that?
Dude, I just really like the Psalms, and I wanted to understand them better. And I had this friend up north before we moved down south. He he was kind of a mentor, kind of an older guy, and. He had the Boyce commentaries and he recommended them. So I actually borrowed them from him. And then I got my own copies recently. So
that's amazing. And just to refute that review we got as this not being a Christian enough, you know, scripture driven podcast, tell us your favorite Psalm, baby.
Oh, you know, I mean, I actually, it's cliche, but I love Psalm 51. I love Psalm 46. You know, you're putting me on the spot here a little bit, but
no, I know.
You know, those are two that
those are big, man. Psalm 46 is big.
Yeah, it's big. It's huge.
You know, the earth getting, you know, the mountains getting swallowed in the earth and the sea. I mean, it's epic.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. They're big for a reason. You know what I mean? They're not big by accident. Big are. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So it's not very like hipster of me to pick out like the big ones, and that's like saying I like the Yankees. You know, but
right, I know.
They're big for a reason.
I know. Like any minute now, you're going to say Psalm 23. Like I love that one. Any minute.
No,
now,
that's the Yankees of the Psalms. Psalm 51.
That is a brutal thing to say about Psalm 23.
Yeah, no, it is. We're gonna get some hate mail for that. But
in fact, Boyce is emailing right now. You know,
from you know, Psalm 46 is like the Cubs it's like the Chicago Cubs of the Psalms.
Last year Chicago Cubs.
No, I mean just any Chicago Cubs. Big market, you know, a lot of attention. But you know, doesn't quite get the hype that Psalm 23 gets.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I don't know. I don't know if that analogy holds. I'm sure people will weigh in on that. But the thing that I'm reading for fun, a couple of things. So Pipe and I have talked about this author Jim Harrison on the program before. And I'm a huge Harrison guy. I got really into Harrison's poetry recently, so I'm reading a volume of poetry by Jim Harrison, and also I'm
his
reading
poetry. His prose is like, I mean, it's razor sharp,
dude.
And real
his
clean.
Poetry is it's interesting, man. It's real kind of it's almost like rural Charles Bukowski. You know what I mean? It's like it's very frontiersy. I don't like nature poems. I hate Wendell Berry. I don't get it. But I don't know. Harrison can write about the outdoors in a way that doesn't make it sound dumb. I like that.
It's not sort of that like fawning, finding your soul in the
dude, no, it's not fawning.
Kind of
it's not finding your soul. It's more like, you know, I like my dog, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So I'm enjoying that. I'm actually reading I just started Harrison's memoir. So he wrote a memoir. It's really crazy, man. It's really kind of all over the place. That guy lived a crazy life. So enjoying that. Listening-wise, I'm really not listening to anything. I just listen to whatever while I'm grading papers. But watching-wise, KK and I are on this new program, man, this new series. It's called Into the Badlands. Have you guys seen or heard of this thing?
No.
Heard of it. Don't know anything about it.
It's money. So it comes on AMC. And we checked out, I think the first season is on Netflix maybe, and then the rest is on AMC. But it's kind of this amorphous, indiscriminate future, post-apocalyptic thing where there's these warring like tribes in America. And you don't know what the time period is because there's like, you know, people using Commodore 64 computers and driving like vintage cars and motorcycles. So it's real. The set design is real money, man. The set design is spectac. And the thing about this show, Into the Badlands, is it's kind of like a kung fu thing. So it's a gunless society for some reason. So all these warring factions, like when they go to battle with each other, it's these big like kung fu choreographed things, and it's really cool. It's really, really cool. The character development is money. You know, the stories, the storylines are really interesting, and there's a little bit of like good and evil sort of I don't know, deeper themes going on. Excuse me, in the program. So Into the Badlands, that's one that I'm enjoying.
Piper, you would love that since you're anti-concealed carrier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gunless society.
Arrogantly anti it.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot to say arrogantly.
Yeah, arrogant, unwilling to listen to any other viewpoints.
I dismiss all opposing opinions, Ronnie. Yeah. No, that show sounds awesome, actually. I haven't heard anything about it. I heard Badlands either. And I just picture South Dakota, which makes me not real interested in watching it.
You were thinking it was Fargo part two.
I'm like, isn't it's Fargo just bleak and boring.
Yeah, Fargo has a series, yeah. Uh-huh.
I heard that's good. I haven't watched it, but
I've heard it's good too. I've never seen it.
Yeah. Although apparently, I think is it Kenneth Branagh who's in it, or it's like a Scottish actor trying to do a Northern Minnesota, North Dakota accent, and apparently it's a little bumpy.
A deal breaker for me. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I could listen to that.
That would be rough.
Yeah, it would be rough. It would be rough. Boys, what has not been rough? Is this program. I feel like we got back on the horse this week, man. And we put a solid program together. We did some good radio today, gentlemen. So congratulations to both of you on that. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have enjoyed it. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. Resonate has helped us with our editing and mastering pretty much from the beginning of the podcast. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Mark and Jake do a fantastic and timely job with all sorts of podcast services. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast.
Our world can feel chaotic and uncertain, but we don't have to live enslaved to fear. Christ has promised me and you his peace, and throughout Scripture has provided powerful tools and practical steps to help us experience greater freedom. I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, inviting you to join me and my team as together we learn how to starve our fears and feed our faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com or wherever you access podcast content.